I'm Lucy Burton at the BBC's Business Unit in London. The main headlines. New MPs in Kenya say they're not paid enough. Vote counting continues in Angola. And economists try to work out what's going wrong with the South African economy. A move to cut the pay of members of parliament in Kenya has come under stiff opposition from newly elected politicians. The BBC's Michael Koloki in Nairobi has more.
The Salaries and Remuneration Commission, the agency mandated with setting pay structures for state officers, announced that it would cut the monthly salaries of members of parliament from $6,800 to $6,000. Members of parliament elected during the recently held elections are due to be sworn in next week. Some of the MPs have criticised the new pay structure, stating they deserve the same amount of cash as their colleagues in the previous parliament. The Parliamentary Service Commission, which is responsible for overseeing the welfare of MPs and ensuring the effective running of parliament, has also come out to demand the reinstatement of the previous salaries and allowances. The issue of the MPs' pay has been a trending topic on social media, with some Kenyans in support of reduced salaries for the MPs, while others supporting the move to reinstate the previous salaries. A few even stating that the MPs do not deserve any pay at all. Local press reports indicate that President Kenyatta has said he would block any bill passed by the newly elected MPs to increase their salaries. The results of the last elections are currently being contested in court by the opposition, with opposition leader Raila Odinga claiming that he won the presidential poll.
Votes are being counted across Angola following an election marking the end of nearly four decades in power for President José Eduardo dos Santos. His former defence minister is widely expected to win, but Mr. Dos Santos will remain in control of the governing MPLA party. These voters say they're hoping the election will bring about change in the country.
This is my first time voting. I hope everything goes well and that my vote makes a difference. There should be more employment for the youth, more hospitals and more schools for children.
I never knew any other president or another political party in power. If that happens, it will be more than welcome because we Angolans have the right to know other political options.
I'm expecting several kinds of changes. Some of the things I want are more jobs for young people, more hospitals, and other things that benefit the country.
The results are expected in the next 48 hours. Poverty is growing in South Africa, it's official. A new report shows that between 2011 and 2015, the number of South Africans living in poverty rose. More than half, 55.5% of the population, or 30 million people, now live in poverty. Davi Ruart is chief economist at Efficient Group, a financial services company.
We have a civil service that is lying like a wet blanket over this economy. One example, a very good example, is education. South Africa spend more on education than most countries in the world, but the quality of our education is not only bad, it is sometimes the worst in the world.
And on the financial markets, October Brent crude oil is down 13 cents at $52.44 a barrel.
This is the business update from the BBC World Service.
Now, is big game hunting acceptable if the money it brings in helps to build schools and clinics? For some Zimbabweans, the answer is yes. The economy's been struggling for years, but big game hunting helps to bring in millions of dollars. Recently, there were renewed calls for it to be banned after Xander, the son of an iconic lion called Cecil, was killed after wandering out of an unfenced national park and into a hunting area. Many living close to the country's national parks have come to rely on the money brought in by hunters, as the BBC's Shingai Nyoka found out when he travelled to Tshloto, which borders the Hwangi National Park.
Sitabisiwe Stole arranges the plastic flowers on her son's grave. Apart from those flowers on a mound of dirt and logs, it's as if Fezile Moyo never existed. The 13-year-old was killed in the same year as the photographic safari lion Cecil. They both died on the outskirts of the same national park at the same age. But there's no photo to remember Fezile and no global outpouring of grief.
He was herding cattle by the river with a group of other boys. An elephant appeared and chased them. He ran, but it kept chasing him, and finally he tripped and fell into a hole. It caught up with him and pounded him to death.
At least 6 people have been killed or maimed by wild animals on her dusty street in a peasant farming village. Every day there's an encounter. Elephants destroying crops, lions or leopards killing livestock. It's the cost of living so close to a big 5 game park.
We can't even walk freely. Where we go, we are in danger of being killed. We have a lot of challenges with wild animals, and they don't seem to be going away.
The people that live on the front lines with the wild animals were forcibly moved to the arid areas by the former colonial government in the 1930s. Wildlife thrives.
Yeah, you see, there's always an outcry when an animal is killed out there.
The area's traditional leader, Chief Siposo, says the community's voice on hunting isn't being heard in the world. Under a program called Campfire, they're supposed to receive dividends from the hunts. Chief Siposo explains.
We get 60% of the proceeds from Campfire. So from that money, this is the money that we use to build infrastructure. At times we buy a meal using monies from Campfire, because it is this community which sit down and decide what to do with their money, not someone else, them.
Mothers with their children are waiting to be served at this clinic. It's one of the 3 built through dividends of hunting. It's one of the reasons why this community is wary of calls for a ban on hunting. Schools have been rehabilitated, piped water delivered to their doorsteps, and a vehicle bought to control problem animals. An average of $1 million is generated from hunting for communities every year, according to Campfire. But on the other side of the debate, conservationists believe that there are viable alternatives. Environment Africa Country Director Barnabas Mawire.
There are water holes where animals come, and you know, people, you can actually enjoy the beauty by taking photographs of animals there. I know also there are new developments where you find some private companies are developing what are known as bombers. They are working with communities, putting infrastructure where they keep their livestock. And normally, lions don't come into such bombers.
The figures aren't adding up yet. Tour operators say a hunt can yield up to 10 times more than a non-hunting safari. Big-spending Americans are known to drop $50,000 to $500,000 on a single trip. And the Zimbabwean government says despite the global protest, its wildlife will remain a shared resource, and communities which own the wildlife will continue to benefit from them.
Time for one last story now. The Brazilian government has abolished a vast national reserve in the Amazon to open up the area to commercial mining exploration. The area, covering 46,000 square kilometres, which straddles the northern states of Amapá and Pará, is thought to be rich in gold, iron, manganese and other minerals. The government said 9 nature conservation and indigenous land areas within the reserve would continue to be legally protected, but environmentalists expressed concern that they could be severely compromised. Around 30% of the overall territory will now be open to mining. A quick look again at the markets. The London Morning Gold Fix is $1,286 an ounce, and London's 100 share index is currently up 0.5% at 74.18. This is the BBC.